It is Monday, the 12th of May, 2009. My name is Dan Witt in Amsterdam, on the phone with Eritrea, with the last white man living in Eritrea, as he calls himself, Thomas C. Mountain. Hello, sir. How do you do?
I'm fine, thank you.
You just came back from the coast for a report. We're going to talk today about the news behind the news of the pirates, who are in the news almost every day. I saw a report on the Canadian television. I have an excerpt of that. Maybe I can show it to you and you can comment on it. Here it goes.
With no government to enforce its sovereignty, foreign ships have been dumping toxic waste off Somalia's coast, and foreign trawlers have been fishing illegally in its waters. Ahmed Hussein is president of the Canadian National Somali Congress.
When you see the coverage of piracy in most international media, you don't hear much about the $300 million annually that's lost by Somali fishermen in illegal fishing done by foreign interests. You also never hear about the cost that cannot be estimated in terms of the negative costs of toxic waste dumping.
Now, that's an interesting take on the story, because everybody's talking about the pirates and how much they make of their hijackings. Nobody's talking about this angle, saying toxic waste being dumped in the waters of Somalia and the Somali waters being fished empty by the West. What's your take on this?
No doubt, that's true. For many years now, there's been, in effect, international piracy in the Somali waters, where these fishermen have been coming in and raping their waters of the fish and plundering their resources there. And there's been a lot of illegal dumping of toxic waste, including radioactive waste, in the Somali waters going on for many years by the European and the Asian mafias. The tsunami of 2004 uncovered some of the worst of this. But I think to understand what's going on in Somalia, we have to step back and take a look at the general picture of what's going on. First of all, it's chaos there, and it's been chaos for many years. But this is chaos that's been promoted by external factors. And I think to understand what's going on in the Horn of Africa, you have to understand U.S. foreign policy, because the United States foreign policy is such that they prefer to use what we call policemen on their beat. In South America, they use Colombia. In Middle East, they use Israel. In West Africa, they use Nigeria, and in East Africa, they used Ethiopia. Now, Ethiopia, since 1991, when the present regime came to power, Ethiopia has been destabilizing Somalia and promoting warlords with the U.S. support. U.S. foreign policy does not want to see a strong, united nationalist Somalia, because they just think Somalia is probably going to hate America for all the bad things America's done to Somalia. But the thing is, see, the question people, it doesn't take a brain surgeon to understand that how come cruise missiles and not-so-smart bombs have not been raining down on these Somali pirates. I mean, the United States has never hesitated to bomb Somali nomads and Somali villages and kill a lot of Somali civilians. How come they're not bombing these pirates? They've got real-time drones flying around up there with real-time video tracking these pirates back to their lairs. They've got satellites with real-time imagery watching where these pirates are going. How come they're not bombing them? Mm. About a year ago, the French started pursuing some of these pirates. One time, they pursued some of these pirates back to their lairs, and since then, there's been nothing. How come they haven't got these helicopters going in with Delta Force and all these supposedly great American counterinsurgency people going in and capturing these pirates and making an example and terrorizing them? Well, it's because these pirates have been fleeing back to the Ethiopian military bases in these warlord-controlled areas that call themselves Puntland and Somaliland. And Ethiopia is the United States policeman on the beat in the area. To understand this, you have to take a look, you know, over the last decade or more and see that Ethiopia has been the largest recipient of U.S. and Western aid in sub-Saharan Africa. Some years as much as 90% of this aid goes to Ethiopia. Now, Ethiopia is one of the poorest countries in the world. About millions, if not tens of millions of the people are continuously starving in a state of famine. And yet Ethiopia, in what is probably one of the best kept secrets in Western media, has the largest, best-equipped military in Africa. Now, most of your listeners are probably familiar with the fact that the Ethiopians, with the U.S. support and instigation and funding, invaded Somalia at the end of 2006 to get rid of this new peace movement that had started to unify the Somali people called the Union of Islamic Courts.
Yeah.
Now, this is not the first time Ethiopia has invaded one of their neighbors. I live in Eritrea, and in May and June of 2000, Ethiopia invaded Eritrea and caused almost a million and a half refugees, almost 40% of our population here. They destroyed much of our agriculture. There was a tremendous war here, which I wrote up in an article for Counterpunch called The War Nobody Remembers, which was published in January of 2003. So Ethiopia has been invading their neighbors, and they've been doing it with Western money. Ethiopia is too poor to do this themselves. They're being funded by the West, not only in aid, but tens of billions of dollars in loans, so-called loans, which are always forgiven, that Ethiopia can never pay back, are given to Ethiopia. Ethiopia is able to cash these loans in, use the hard cash to buy weapons from, amongst others, Russia and Bulgaria, and then turn around and use these weapons to police the area on behalf of their Western financiers, especially the United States. So, of course, the United States is not going to come in, or the Western powers are not going to come in and bomb Ethiopian military camps in the Horn of Africa where these Somali pirates are taking refuge.
But why is it possible that those Somali pirates can take refuge in these Ethiopian military camps?
Because they share the loot. The Ethiopian government is basically a gangster government. Okay, their own people are up in the major insurgencies going on throughout Ethiopia. In the Somali Ogaden, the Ethiopian government has expelled Doctors Without Borders, Medicine Sans Frontiers. They've expelled the International Red Cross. You know, they're conducting genocidal policies in against the Somalis, against the Oromos, against their own population. And, you know, they have got large bank accounts, hundreds of millions of dollars in bank accounts outside the country. This, you know, the Ethiopian leadership is even sort of sensing that their days may be numbered, and they're trying to get all the hard cash they can in their foreign accounts when they have to run away from their country. So, you know, the Somali pirates come in, pay off a portion of their loot, their ransom money, and give it to the Ethiopians. It's protection money they're paying to the local gangsters that run the Ethiopian military camps that have to share it with their masters in Addis Ababa. So, you know, it's about money. And it's about power, but it's mainly about U.S. foreign policy in this region, which is something that, you know, it's very difficult to get the truth out about. I mean, I've just come to lose all my respect for the Western media because the way they cover the situation out here, it's like, hey, wait a second, how come you're not asking simple questions? How come the Americans and these Western militaries, most powerful militaries in the world that have got warships patrolling these areas with all the latest technology and satellites and everything, haven't been able to track these Somali pirates back to their lairs and bomb them? Simple question. You think it would be common sense. Not one reporter in the West has covered this. Why is that? Is that because they don't know? No, they do know. Everybody out here knows this. This has even been published in the Arab press. The Saudi press, Saudi Arabian press, has published an interview with the Eritrean minister of information where he exposed all this up in the open there, and yet, so it's not unknown. It's that the Western media, the reporters out here know that if they try to publish a story like this, they'll get in trouble with their local hosts, and they get kicked out of the country. Even if they did try to publish it, the editors wouldn't touch it. So, I mean, you know, it's something very basic, very common sense, that yet it takes someone like myself, who's not even a journalist, really, even though I do have a long background in matters African and African history, I'm just telling people what people in the Horn of Africa know. You know, maybe the Somali leadership outside is not going to say this, or maybe even they're outside, they're not that familiar with the situation. But, I mean, it just makes sense. How come they haven't tracked these guys down and bombed them?
Here's another excerpt from the Canadian television.
Clear evidence of the dumping surfaced literally 4 years ago in containers washed ashore by waves from the Asian tsunami. People living along the Somali coast suddenly started falling sick. That caught the attention of the United Nations Environment Program. Nick Nuttall is the program's spokesman.
There were many, many eyewitness accounts of people with bleeding gums, people with all sorts of skin rashes, abdominal hemorrhaging, and respiratory problems, which were linked with eyewitness accounts of rather large containers being tossed up by the tsunami of 2004 onto the beaches and breaking up.
Is this true?
Yes, it's true. There's no doubt that this has been going on for a long time. No, of course, no one's been arrested for this. No one's been prosecuted for this. It's nothing new. It's been known for a long time they've been doing this. And yet, you know, when it comes to the Horn of Africa, who cares, right? If they want to dump these toxic and radioactive waste out here, who cares? I mean, it's part of the overall racism that's, you know, directed towards Africa, and particularly that's directed towards the Horn, is that this is a dumping ground. Anything goes out here. You know, genocide goes. I can tell you story after story after story about how really outrageous things have gone out here, and the media acts like they have no clue when they've been. I personally lobbied many of these journalists and said, look, why don't I provided them all my research, years of research in the matters, and the stories just die. They never get published. The people that are supposed to be helping are making matters worse, whether it's the World Health Organization or the World Food Program under the UN. There's a long list of things they've done where words like medical malpractice are used by leading malaria experts to describe the World Health Organization's malaria work in Africa, where the World Food Program's come out here and actually contributed to the policy of beggarism, you know, trying to turn this part of the world into beggar nations by destroying the indigenous agriculture through dumping of grain when the harvest time comes around and trying to destroy the farmers' right ability to sell their grain. I mean, it's just so many, it's a long litany of crimes being committed in the Horn of Africa, and as many of it, actually, the UN's not just closing their eyes to it, they're complicit in it.